For those of you Tennessee fans who need something to do around Pastor Mark, if you do that right there, that's the sign of a TCU Horned Frog. So take note, do that as much as you want. We had a student come in today, and she was not too happy that she was a Tennessee fan, not too happy that Georgia won. And Pastor Mark said, do you know how many times, because I was telling her, I said, you ought to be excited. This is an SEC team. This is your fellow competitors. And, you know, and so I'm saying that. And Pastor Mark said, you know how many times I've gone for Tennessee? Zero. So I said, never mind. And I just walked out. So all fun and games as long as your team's winning. So, and that's all I'll say about that. Because mine did not. So anyhow, it's another Texas team, so you can get excited about that, all right? I can. Okay. Moving on to the Word. Sheila said move on. Psalms 37. You excited to be here tonight? We got something good for you. We're going to pick up where we left off Sunday morning. We're going to see some good things in the Word. Amen. Psalms 37, starting with verse number 3, says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You know, that word commit is literally, it literally means to roll over on. You know, it's kind of the idea, you know, we understand the trust fall, don't you? You know, where you have somebody stand behind you and you just let go and fall backwards and they catch you. Literally, to commit means a trust fall. It means to roll over on. And so when you're committing your way unto the Lord, trust in Him and He'll bring it to pass. What you're doing is saying, Father, I trust You with my whole heart. I trust You with my life. And I trust that You're going to bring this to pass. Well, that's good news, isn't it? So my question tonight, again, kind of a continuation of what we were doing Sunday morning, but my question to you tonight is, what are you excited about? I mean, if you have to, just take a moment as we're doing that. What are you excited about? What are you most excited about right now? What are you most excited about moving into the new year, new opportunities? What is it you're pondering and thinking about and thinking about? What is it that I can get into that's going to bring me joy and peace in the days ahead? Well, notice literally it says, when you delight yourself in the Lord, He gives you the desires of your heart. So there's two different desires here. There's when you desire or have your delight in His things, then He delights in your things. You see that? So we're talking both naturally and spiritually. In the days ahead, where can you find joy and peace and contentment? It's interesting. I found this quote from Jerry Savelle. He said, if you have no joy... See, we're saying, where can you find joy? Where can you find peace in the days ahead? He said, if you have no joy, you have no strength. If you have no strength, then you can't resist. And if you can't resist, then the devil will not flee. And if the devil doesn't flee, then you will not win. Your victory is directly linked to your joy, and I'll add, and your peace. Billy Sunday, you know, he was somebody we've talked about. Pastor Mark mentioned him before. He was a baseball player turned evangelist in the 1880s, you know, radically changed, radically saved, and had meetings of 20,000 people back in the 1880s, you know, radically saved. And actually had a big part in Prohibition. And so it shut the bars down, you know, preaching the gospel. But he said this, if you have no joy, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. You know, we talk about that all the time. If you're happy and you know it, then your face should surely show it. Joy ought to be a part of your DNA. It ought to be a part of who you are as a Christian. And see, if you have no joy, then like he said, then there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Boy, I like that part. In believing. See, it's talking about your faith. What do you believe? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. You see, when you're full of joy and peace, then you abound in hope. In other words, there's a hope about you. You have hope for the future. You know, I'm convinced there's as you study Scripture, and we'll touch on a few of these Scriptures. We already have, in fact. But I believe there's two gauges for how you're doing in your faith life and how you're walking out the things of God, and that's your joy and that's your peace. That's your joy and that's your peace. Joy and peace is, in fact, you'll find in Isaiah 53, joy and peace is a provision from God that's already been paid for. See, it's His will for us to have it. The price has already been paid. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5 says, verse 5 says, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Amplified reads, the punishment required for our peace fell on Him. The Living Bible says, He was beaten that we might have peace. So peace is already paid for, so why don't you just partake? Why don't you just say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. It doesn't matter. See, that's the whole point of these Scriptures, is it doesn't matter what you're going through. It's a decision that you make. I can be in peace and I can have joy no matter what's going on. Hey, listen, just a few moments ago, I went to pull out of my garage to come up here to preach a message to you about peace and joy. And I get in my car and I pull out, and my little gauges on the, talking about gauges here, my gauges on the front said I had a flat right tire. Well, that's joyful, isn't it? Getting ready to come to church and preach a message. So I just backed it up and I said, Sheila, hurry up, get ready, we got to go. So I got a flat tire, a tire that's not completely flat, but it was going flat. So I don't need to drive on this thing. And then, that's just the way things go sometimes. Things come up and... what is it the Bible says? You know, where there are no oxen, the stall is clean.
Yeah,
right. You have vehicles, you have a car, you have a house. Caleb was talking to us at lunchtime today about the fact that he's having problems with his septic tank. Well, I mean, stuff comes up. It doesn't mean that the devil's out to get you. It doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. Sometimes it just means you're living life. Sometimes it means you've got stuff.
Amen.
Right? Anybody got stuff?
Yeah.
You just got stuff to deal with? Come on now. But you can make a decision. I can have joy. I can have peace. You know what? They sell more tires. One of my good friends owns a tire store right over here. I just spoke for him a couple weeks ago. Sure. So what I can do in the morning is I can take it right over here to him and say, hey, I got a tire that needs attention. And guess what? It's fixed. No need to sweat it. No need to get all bent out of shape and upset.
That's good.
Thing that bothered me the most was I heard my wife up, because she likes to take her time and be beautiful when she gets here. And so I rushed her. That bothered me more than anything. Not even a grunt. Oh, guys. Well, the key to maintaining your joy and your peace is found in the in believing part.
Yeah.
In believing. What do you believe? Do you really believe what the Word says, or do you not? Right? It's another way of saying peace is a byproduct of faith in His Word. When you have faith in the Word of God, then you'll find peace. Isaiah 55:12 says, for you shall go out with joy, and you shall be led forth with peace. You know, we always taught our kids growing up, follow after your peace. You know, when you're facing a challenging situation, where can you find peace? Well, where is that in the Scripture? It's right here. For you shall go out with joy, and you shall be led forth with peace. Can you find your peace in this situation? Can you find your peace? Well, you can be led by that. That's what the Bible tells us. See, the ones who experience joy and peace in their life will be those who believe. And sadly, you know, we're coming out of the holiday season. Sadly, this time of year, many people dread. They've lost all hope. You know, I talked to somebody over the holidays, you know, just casually. I think it was at the grocery store or somebody checking me out or something like that. I just started a conversation and just asking about what it was they were going to do. You know, what's your holiday look like? And they said, go home and sit by myself. And their whole thing was, I hate the holidays. You know, my family split up and divorced, families divorced. Christmas was always a terrible time for them. And so for them, this is a terrible season. This is all it does is it's for them, it's a reminder of all the bad things that are going on in their life. And so, you know, this is a, for a lot of people, they've lost all hope. They come out of the holidays drained, not experiencing joy and peace or hope for the days ahead. That's not experiencing God's best. And that's not what He wants for you. Listen, it's always important to remain hopeful that God's best is right in front of you.
Yes.
I say it as much as I can. Your best days are ahead of you. And if you truly believe what this word says, you'd understand that's a fact. Your best days are ahead of you. So there's no need to lose hope. Your days of joy, your days of peace, your days of peace of mind, your days of health and victorious living, all of that stuff is right in front of you. Right in front of you. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up too early. Days of increase, not merely surviving. See, that's what we talked about last time is don't get in this attitude of, man, I'm just trying to survive out here. Well, you're missing it all. You're missing what the Word guarantees you. He guarantees you increase. He guarantees you health and victory and success in life. But it's a determined decision to keep moving. You know, there's a passage in the Bible, when you study this out, it's interesting. In Psalm 84, starting with verse number 4, says, "Blessed are they that dwell in your house, they shall still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the ways of them." Now watch this, verse 6 is interesting. "Who passing through the valley of Baca." Now Baca is a term, Baca means the valley of tears. You know, you're going through a hard time, a tough time, you know, a time that's brought tears. "So who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well." Notice what it says. Make it a well, in other words, turn it around. It's talking about a spring, springing up. So it says, "Who passing through the valley of tears make it a spring, and the rain also fills the pools. They go from strength to strength." The key part in this, don't pass over this, "who passing through the valley."
Yes.
The key is you don't stop. We're all going to go through those valleys. We're all going to go through those times in life where it's a challenge, man. You know, it just seems like all hell's breaking loose all around you. We're going to go through those times. Really, just what we talked about a minute ago, because we live in a fallen world. We have stuff. We deal with people. You work around people. You're raising kids. You have a family. You know, all of this stuff contributes to it. You're going to go through tough times, but the key is passing through. If you pass through, then you go from strength to strength. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "Weeping," you've heard this, "weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Do you believe that?
Yes.
See, it may seem like the longest night of your life. Weeping may endure for a night. May seem like the longest night of your life. A night that you thought would never come to an end. But joy comes in the morning. There's a new day dawning. You know what the dawn is? The dawn is, it's the first appearance of light. It's daybreak. I had a buddy growing up, best friend still. You know, we call each other, and he's a district attorney. Actually, he's no longer a district attorney. He's a district court judge in Lubbock. And so his dad owned, growing up, his dad owned the local cleaners in town. And so so I was always with him and his dad. His parents were divorced, and so, you know, he would spend time with his dad, spend time with his mom. Oddly enough, they actually worked together. He owned the cleaners and the mother ran the cleaners. And so they were best friends, but they were divorced, split up. And so he would spend time with both of them. And so I would find myself with this man named Kenny, his dad, and my buddy. And so, you know, both of them are big guys, real tall guys. My buddy is, you know, a foot taller than I am. And so his dad drove around this old Ford pickup truck. And we would get in this car. We'd go to movies. We'd go do things, you know, go to ball games and stuff like that. And so I'm the short guy. So where do I get stuck? In the middle. Right? I get stuck in the middle. So their fun thing to do, because, you know, this is a small town. I work at a local grocery store. He owns the cleaners. He, you know, his son worked at the cleaners. So we know every, literally, we know everybody in town. If somebody moves into town, one of us is going to know it within a few days because they're either going to come to the cleaners or they're going to go to the grocery store. Well, their fun thing to do is we would get in the truck to ride through town, and then his dad would start blowing the horn, and my buddy Doug would duck. And his daddy would put his arm around me about that time, pull me close, and kiss me on the cheek. So here's all my friends, all the people I know. We're going right through downtown, and here's a man kissing on me in this truck. Thankfully, they all knew he was a cut-up and didn't think anything about it. Say, why am I telling you all that? Well, we went to a Rangers ball game. Now, if you know where I grew up, Austin is about 3.5-4 hours away from Dallas. And so, you know, we would go to ball games, but we wouldn't stay the night because it's only a 4-hour ride, so we would drive back. Well, this particular game got late because we got rained on. There was a rain delay, so, I mean, we were coming back really, really late. And so so he decided that he had this old conversion van. You know, he took this van and used it for hauling the laundry around, but then we would take this van to go places because he'd put a mattress in the back, and we'd all lay down and do whatever, you know. While he was driving, we'd sleep. And so so he decided, we were coming back from this trip, and so he decided to pull off in this rest area. And so he said, I'm going to pull over here, and I'm going to rest for a little bit because I'm getting tired, and then, you know, in the morning, we'll go the rest of the way. So it was a couple hours down the road. And so in the morning, first thing in the morning, we wake up to him blowing the horn, shaking the van. Guys, wake up. Guys, wake up. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? We were like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? He goes, it was the crack of dawn. Did you hear that? I'm telling you, this man was crazy. The crack of dawn. First light. Dawn. First appearance of light. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just is as the shining light. One translation literally says, the dawning light. The path of the just is as the dawning light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Listen, we have a promise of a brighter tomorrow. We have a promise of brighter days ahead. Doesn't matter what you've gone through. Doesn't matter what 2022 looked like to you. Doesn't matter what yesterday. Doesn't matter what an hour ago looked like to you. You have a promise of a brighter tomorrow. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Did you know, he says here, not as the world gives. The world has a peace that is attainable through money and wise living. It can happen. They can find a certain amount of peace as long as they have the right amount of money, as long as they're around people that can guide them in the right direction. But when that runs out, when the money's gone, when the wise decisions, when the wisdom fails you, you know what you're left with? But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Actually, in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all of your cares over on Him, for He cares for you. That's what the Bible tells us. So it's possible to constantly talk about, think about, worry about the problem to the point that it appears that there's no way out to you. Yeah. But what did Jesus say? Peace I leave with you. My peace. Not as the world gives. Not a peace that you... See, everybody thinks, well, if I can just get the right job, if I can just make the right amount of money, if I can trade this wife in and find another one, if I can just get rid of these kids... Come on now. It's always if, but Jesus was saying, I've got your peace right here. If you'll commit your way unto me, if you'll roll it over on me, I'm your peace. He's where you're going to find your peace. Casting all of your care over on Him, for He cares for you. So I've got something I want you to do tonight. Brother Gary, Mr. David, if you guys will come ahead. They're going to hand everybody in the room a piece of paper. Now I want you to take this paper, and I want you to get something in your hand to write with. If you need something to write with, they've got some pencils here. But everybody take a white piece of paper, and be sure you got something to write with. We're just going to do a short little exercise. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What we're going to do here, you know, in 1 Peter, he's kind of given us an exercise of sorts, and we're going to do what it says here. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all of your care. One translation, I think, literally says the whole of your care, all of it. Casting the whole of your care upon Him, for He cares for you. One translation says He cares for you watchfully. He cares about you. Do you know that? He cares about your life and what's going on and what you're dealing with. So what we're going to do is this. They've about got everybody. What I want you to do is think about this. I want you to write down on that piece of paper. Now, this doesn't have to be an exhaustive list. Write down what you want. But I want you to write down on that piece of paper, what's worrying you? What is it that you're fearful about? What is it that is causing you stress or anxiety? What is it that's overwhelming you right now? And I want you to write that on that piece of paper. Just take a second. What is it that's consuming you right now? What is it that has your thoughts and attention? I want you to write it on that piece of paper. Doesn't matter what it is, big or small. Write that on that piece of paper. Casting all of your care over on Him, for He cares for you. Amen. You know, if you practice this, you'll find peace in it. You'll find joy in it. Everybody got it? Anybody need some more time? Everybody good? Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that piece of paper and I want you to wad it up. And I want you to throw it as far away from you as you can get it. Don't hit your neighbor. Just throw it. Just throw it as far. It don't matter. Just throw it. Just throw it. You know what to cast means, right? It literally means to hurl away from you. Cast it away. Come on now, throw it. Some of you didn't throw it. Throw it. Get it away from you. And then you OCD people in the room, don't go picking them up. It's going to bother you. You're going to see it. You're going to think you need to pick it up. But that's kind of the point. You don't need to pick it back up. You wrote those things down because what we're doing tonight is we're casting those things over on Him. So it's not going to have our attention. It's not going to be overwhelming us anymore because we just cast that thing away from us. So we don't have to pick it back up again. The Bible says casting all of your care over on Him. Did you get a negative report? You just cast that thing away from you. What does God's Word say? And then Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart and be thankful. So we're going to trade those worries and those cares and what's overwhelming you with praise and thanksgiving. So when that thing comes up, then what you're going to do, Father, I thank You. I thank You that You're taking care of me. I thank You that You've got my back. I thank You that I don't have to worry about a thing. And you're just going to get full of joy and you're going to have peace right in the midst of all hell breaking loose in your life. Now maybe you're like Miss Pat. Miss Pat, on Sunday, we asked the question, are you dealing with anything? Is all hell breaking loose in your life? What is it that you're dealing with? You know what Miss Pat said? Nothing. That's a good place to be in. Maybe you're there. Maybe things are going great. Fantastic. This is an exercise to keep for later. Huh? Let the peace of God rule in your heart and be thankful. There was a man named Harry Ironside. He was one of the most prolific Christian writers of the 20th century, wrote over 100 books. But he was talking about worry, and he said, we would worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. So whenever you find yourself worried, you say, Father, I thank You. Father, I thank You that You're good. I thank You that You're my healer. I thank You that You're my victory, that You're my deliverer. Thank You that You always cause me to, and you just begin to thank God for the good things that are going on. Can't you find at least one good thing? You're here. You're breathing. That's a good thing. Huh? You didn't kill your kids today. That's a good thing. See, God's intent has always been for believers to live a life of joy, to have peace, free from stress, worries, fears, anxiety, frustration. We find in Romans 14, 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." You know, what it's talking about is the kingdom of God is not a series or a book of rules and regulations about eating and drinking. But actually, it said the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. See, serving the Lord, that's what it's really taught. Serving the Lord ought to bring you a certain amount of peace and joy. If it doesn't, then you're not doing it right. I said, if it doesn't, then you're not doing it right. I said, if it doesn't, then you're not doing it right. I'll probably get it wrong, but Keith Moore was talking along these lines several years ago. I heard him doing a message, and he was talking about, you know, reading your Bible and going to church and worshiping God. And he was talking about the fact, you know, you look around and some people, you know, they're just standing there with their arms crossed, looking around, and they're just not getting anything out of it. And occasionally they'll lift their hand a little bit and they'll look around. They might sing a few verses. And he said, well, listen, if you're not getting anything out of it, what makes you think he is? Talk about him. So there's a certain amount of joy and peace that ought to come out of serving the Lord. And if not, then you're not doing it right. So where's your peace? Where's your joy? Colossians 3:15 says, let peace be the umpire of your life. So in other words, let peace settle with finality all the questions that arise in your hearts and your minds. You know, an umpire's job on the field is to have the final say-so. That's why they're there. Now, they don't always get it right, you understand. If you're a sports guy, you know that. But in other words, an umpire's job on the field is to have the final say-so. So what are we saying? Let peace have the final say-so. No matter what the report is, no matter what it is you're dealing with, where can your peace be found? There's a scripture in Philippians chapter 4, if you want to turn there, Philippians chapter 4. We just spent a long time, a series, talking about the mind and the importance of the mind. And we mentioned this scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And now watch this. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds. But watch this. Here's what I want to point out tonight. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, of a good report. Somebody say good report. Whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. In other words, there's a list out there. If you need help, look at the list. And if it's not on the list, then you don't have to think it. So, well, you don't understand. I'm overwhelmed by this. All I can think about. Then you need to get back in the list. You need to get back in the Word. You need to find your peace. James 1:2 says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. The Message Bible says, you know that under pressure, anybody under pressure tonight? You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. It's interesting, isn't it? Pressure has a way of revealing what something's made of. That's the reality. When you're determined to not quit, whenever you're committed to stay in a joyful and peaceful demeanor, did you know you're dangerous to the devil? You know, he's already defeated. We know that. Anybody read the back of the book? He's already defeated. So the only thing that he can do is like we spent that series talking about the mind. The only thing he can do is to get you to go back on the Word of God. To question the Word of God, to take a step back and quit on what it is that you're convinced of already. So he knows for a fact, if you can find your joy and your peace, then you're dangerous to him. Huh? Somebody say, I'm dangerous to the devil. And of course, we've said this too, but Keith Moore has the statement, if it shows up in your life, then you're well able to overcome it. If it shows up in your life, anything show up? Then you're well able to overcome it. Again, coming from these same scriptures. Romans 8:28 says, "For we know that all things work together for good." Somebody say, "For my good." "To them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose." So what's happening? It's all working out. I said it's all working out. So when things come up, what are you going to do? You're going to say, "It's all working out." You don't have to give people an exhaustive list of everything all right, everything, what's going on? It's all working out. You don't have to rehearse it all. Sometimes you just don't have to get into it. You just have to say, "It's all working out. It's all working out." If you want to take it a step further, it's all working out for my good. No matter what it is, it's all working out for my good. Amen. See, we're talking about facing every situation with confidence in the foundation of His Word. I like 1 John 5:14. It says, "For this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, then we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." I like that confidence part. This is the confidence that we have in Him. We can have confidence in Him. We can fully trust in God Almighty to bring us through and work every situation out for our good. Confidence. Confidence. Faith is a confident expectation. Amen. But where is it found? Having confidence in His Word. I want to read something to you again. These are all familiar passages. But in Matthew chapter 7, we find the story or the parable about the two homes, two houses. So in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24, and you can also find this in Luke chapter 6, and we'll go to Luke chapter 6, so if you want to be finding both of those, because I like the way the Luke 6 says some of this. But starting in Matthew 7:24, it reads this way, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So what do we learn here? A good foundation is found on the Word. On the Word. That's where your foundation needs to be. Now, look over at Luke 6. Read the same exact thing. Luke 6, starting with verse number 48, because I like the way it's worded actually better in Luke 6. It says in verse 48, "He is like a man which built a house and digged deep." We're not talking about a scripture verse a day. I'll say that again. We're not talking about a scripture verse a day. Are you facing a dire situation? Anybody in here facing a dire situation? We're not talking about a scripture a day. We're talking about somebody that's going to dig deep. Somebody that's going to find out, what is God's promise to me in this situation? "Dug deep, laid a foundation on a rock." See, this is the rock. The Bible is the rock. Jesus is the rock. "When the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock." Listen, when your life is founded on the Word of God, you won't be shaken. When the storms rise, when the floods come, when the storms rise up, you won't be shaken. "But he that hears and does not is like a man without a foundation, but he built a house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." See, you don't want to be on the end of that result. So what do? You get into the Word. You make sure that the Word is your foundation. So put the Word first and take God at His Word. So why are we saying all this? Because what I want you to do in the coming year is I want you to commit to the study of the Word. I want you to dig deep. So I don't know that I've got the time. And you need to find the time. You need to dig deep so that when the storms of life come up, when the challenges of life come up, when your tire goes flat, you don't just collapse and crumble. "Oh God, what am I going to do?" When you dig deep, you won't be shaken. So dig deep, get into the Word. And as you make this commitment, things will begin to open up and you'll begin to see things you've never seen before. Are you with me? Your faith will grow. You'll develop spiritually. All of this is foundational on the Word. Psalm 119, 130 says, "The entrance of your Word gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple." This is not complicated. This isn't rocket science. He's made this so easy if you will just take Him at His word. You don't have to evaluate it. You don't have to have a scholar explain it to you. You don't have to get a book for dummies. This is simple. He said it gives understanding to the simple. And I'll say this, as soon as that light comes, faith is there. Faith is there. Goes on to say in three verses later, 133, it says, "Order my steps in your word." Do you know how you treat the word determines how much you receive from God? When I was in high school, you know, I was a Christian, went to church. You know, my parents had us, my mom had us in church. You know, I would go Sundays and we had Monday meetings, went to youth group, and so I carried my Bible around school. I was class president, carried my Bible around school. Didn't know what it said, but I carried it around. I thought it looked good. You know, I wanted people to know that I was a godly young man. Went to church. I was going to Oral Roberts University, and I was going to study to become a youth pastor. That's what I went for. But really, I was going to play baseball. That's why I was going. I mean, let's be real. But I thought I looked good carrying this around. But it wasn't until I long story, and this isn't what this message is about, but I left ORU and went over to Rhema Bible, it's Rhema Bible Training Center then, it's Rhema Bible College now. But I went over there and I began to real quickly figure out that I didn't know a thing about what this said. But talking about Keith Moore, he got up one time. He was one of my instructors. He got up and he said, let me encourage you guys to do something. He said, forget everything that you know. And I thought, well, that's easy for me because I don't know anything. He said, forget everything that you think you know about this and just be open. Just be open. Just allow the Word of God to be the thing that dictates what you believe. And man, it was easy. And I would come home and I would say things to Sheila like, did you know that the Bible says this? And she just looked at me. And did you know that the Bible says this? The Bible says that I'm healed already. Did you know that the Bible? And she just looked at me like, you idiot. Not really. She had compassion on me because she knew I was ignorant. In a good way. If there is a good ignorance. But see, the reality is whenever you allow the Word into your life, get into the Word. Value this thing. Because no matter what belongs to us in Christ, we will only partake of it to the measure that we are interested in it. You might not be interested in it. Do you know, I heard Pastor Mark say years and years and years ago, back when I first started at this church, I heard him get up, he was talking about people coming to church. And he said, you know the number one reason why people don't come to church? And I leaned forward because I was like, man, I'd love to know this. And he said, because they don't want to. And I was waiting for a big revelation and something deep. And I thought, well, that makes sense. You know why people don't want to read their Bible? Because they don't want to. It's not important to them. None of us want to fail simply because we are interested enough to give the Word of God first place in our life. I guarantee you. You're not here on a Wednesday because you want to fail. You're here because you want to get revelation of the Word. You want to see something you've never seen before. You want to experience something on the you want to walk on the victory side of life or you wouldn't be here. But it has to be something that you're interested in. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. That's a simple statement, seek first. It doesn't say seek only the kingdom. It says seek first. As opposed to what? Second, third, fourth, fifth, on down the... In other words, it needs to take preeminence. See, we're talking about a lack of interest. You know, other things split our interest to the point that we neglect the most important spiritual things. And that's the key. 1 Samuel 2:30 says, "Them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Not despise in the way that we think, "I can't stand you, I despise you." Not like that. Despise means to treat as less valuable. To not value at all. I despise that. In other words, I'm not going to give that my attention. It's unimportant to me. So in 1 Samuel 2:30 it says, "Them that honor me, I will honor. They that despise me, them that treat me as unimportant, shall be lightly esteemed." See, how we treat the Word is in fact an indicator of how much we value our relationship with God. One last scripture. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 20, says, "My son, attend to my words." Attend means to lean in, to give your ear to lean in, give it your undivided attention. "So my son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh." One translation says, where it says health, literally says medicine. "For they are life to those that find them and medicine to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Everybody stand to your feet. So God has medicine. God has medicine. But here's the thing. One pill, one dose has the power to cure what ails you. One dose has the power to put you over in life. One dose, one word from God has the power to completely turn your situation around. But just like any good medicine, you got to take it as directed. In other words, you got to be willing to sell out. What does the Bible tell you to do? What does the Word say? Word says, pray for your enemies. Well, I don't like that pill. I don't like that dose. Anybody ever taken some of that medicine? I didn't like that one. But it's part of what's prescribed. So if you want the results, then you got to partake. Pray for your enemy. Bless them that persecute you. See, there's going to be some things that he's going to ask you to do that you just might not like. But if you delight yourself in him, what does it say he's going to do? He's going to delight in you. Find out what His Word says and then do it. It's that simple. Gives light. Understanding to the simple. It's an easy thing. But you've got to find out what it says. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank You. We thank You. Psalm 119:165 says, "Great peace have they which love Your law, and nothing shall defeat them." Glory to God. We refuse to give up tonight. We refuse to be defeated. We thank You, Lord, according to Your Word. We get into Your Word and we find the light of the Word that brings us joy and peace. And Father, just like Your Word declares, we can walk in this life following after peace and joy and victorious, overcoming living. We thank You for it. We believe You for it. We're overcomers. We refuse to quit. We will follow after joy and peace. And therefore, we will have hope in the days ahead. We thank You for it. We believe You for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. We love you. Amen. You're dismissed. Amen. Amen.